Hello, friends. Welcome to the Hillside Church podcast. My name is Brad, and I serve Hillside Church as the lead pastor. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you in this way. God has so much in store for you and for your life, and one of the ways God works in our lives is through the study of his word, like the message you're about to hear. Our prayer for you is that as you share in this message, if it's me preaching or if it's someone else, is that God's word would minister to your heart and life in a most powerful way. Thanks again for being part of our church family. God bless you.
This week, you have a choice. You can either turn to Revelation chapter 1 or John 14 if you'd like to follow along in the Word of God. We're going to spend time in both of those places. In case you're wondering, we're going to be in Revelation 21 first. So if you're going to try and do both, go there first, and then you can jump to John 14 once we're done there. But this week, we are wrapping up our sermon series called Afterlife. When the series that we've taken to look at what takes place after this life. A couple weeks ago, the youth took a bunch of our teenagers up to West Edmonton Mall, to the water park there for the day. And when they had returned, I asked one of the parent volunteers that had chosen to spend the day with them and drive them up to Edmonton and all of that stuff, and asked them how it was. And their reply to me was, "It wasn't as bad as you'd think it'd be." And for the first couple of weeks of this series, we've talked about the reality of death and what happens after we die. And last week, we took our time to look at our understanding and build a theology around hell. And my hope is that when we look at the last couple of weeks, we could at least have that same kind of response. Death, hell, well, it wasn't as bad as you'd think it'd be. That at least, if nothing else, we can say that about the last couple of weeks. It wasn't as bad as it could have been. That hopefully it's been redeeming and hopeful and encouraging and inspiring for you. Because the hope with these sermons is that we will be able to have our understanding of the afterlife, our understanding of hell, our understanding, and today our understanding of heaven, realigned and recalibrated a little bit back to what the Bible has to say about these things. Because sometimes we can lose focus on what heaven really is, what hell is. How do we get to heaven, and how do we avoid hell? And we can become not so invested in who's going where, and we can just kind of rest in the idea that, hey, God will sort it all out. But we can sometimes forget that we're on a mission with him. That God's not on a mission without us, but God has chosen to partner with us, to co-mission with us, which is why he gave us the Great Commission, is because God wants to work with us. And the Great Commission, it wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't an idea. It wasn't, hey, you should probably do this, maybe. It was, this is what I have for you. That for everyone who follows me, regardless of where they live, regardless of what they do, regardless of what their life experience is like, this is what I have for you. But somewhere along the way, we got comfortable. We got okay. We just decided that eternity was God's deal, and he'll figure it out. But as comfortable as these topics may have been to spend some time on, I think they've been so important. Because what we've seen is the truth to the idea that what you believe about eternity will determine how you live today. Time and time again, we've come back to this idea that what we believe, not just what we say we know, but what we truly believe in our heart of hearts about eternity will determine how we live today. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look at this promise that we have been given as followers of Jesus. That if we are a follower of Jesus, we have been given a promise as to how we are going to spend our afterlife. The promise that for each one of us who's a follower of Jesus is looking toward as our destiny for where we will spend the afterlife. And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about three misunderstandings, three misconceptions, three ways that our understanding of heaven needs to be adjusted, three ways of thinking about heaven that might have crept into your thinking about heaven, maybe even without us realizing it. And so just want to correct three ideas about heaven. The first idea that may have crept into our thinking is this. Well, heaven will be boring anyway. If you were with us last week, we talked about how it's the devil's plan to blur out our understanding of hell and minimize our understanding of, understanding of hell, for us to feel like maybe it's not real. And any part of it that actually is real, it's really just for the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst. Like, only the worst people imaginable are going to end up here. And I think the flip side of that is that one of the other tricks that the devil wants to pull on us is for us not to really see heaven clearly. So that we don't have it as a priority in our lives to see other people get there. And so into our thoughts, into our way of understanding, into even as followers of Jesus, our theology of heaven can be shaped by the pictures we're given as heaven, and somehow, some way, we begin to think about heaven as this place where you're like a little angel, or maybe wearing like this big white robe with a little halo somehow floating above your head, and you have to learn how to play the harp. And we're going to walk around on clouds all day, and Chris Tomlin songs will be playing in the background all the time. And when he's done, it'll cycle through to Phil Wickham or whatever, the Newsboys, whatever that. But it's just going to continue to play, you know, Chris Tomlin over and over and over again. And so we end up in this place where even as believers, as we start to think about heaven, we're not quite sure what it is we're supposed to be so excited about. Because we start to think of heaven as this place where we're like, are there babies and diapers with bows and arrows? Like, what exactly is heaven? And why am I supposed to be excited about it? But if you want to get a picture of heaven, I just want to read to you a passage from the book of Revelation chapter 21. The book of Revelation, one of Jesus' disciples, he was a man named John. And because he was a follower of Jesus, was sentenced to live on this island by himself. That he would die on this island. And while he was there, God gave him this vision of the end of this journey that we as humanity have with God. And he gives them this vision. And part of the vision that he gives John is found in Revelation chapter 21, where it talks about heaven, where it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, or for the first earth, the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with him. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" Jump to verse 7. "Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." The best way that we can understand heaven is this. Heaven is the absence of evil and the very presence of God. And friends, there is nothing about the presence of God that I've ever found boring. There's nothing about the presence of God that I've ever found boring. That if I've spent time in the presence of God, I've never come away going, Take it or leave it. I've never found the presence of God boring. What we're told in the Bible, what are we told in the Bible that we find in the presence of God? We find love and joy and peace. All of the parts of this life that are gifts from God, laughter, beauty, and community. I'm going to have a moment of congregational participation here. What are some things in life that you enjoy? And I don't want any Bible answers. Christian, I don't want you to be like, I enjoy reading my Bible. No. What are some things in life that you enjoy? Chocolate? Family? Gardening? Eating? Adam, eh? What else? Anything else anybody enjoys? Or is that the four things? Walking? Biking? Star Wars? Games? Ice cream? Did you know that the Bible tells us that, as we've come to a couple times now, did you know that the Bible tells us that there will be feasting in heaven? But here's the thing, you have to imagine that with all of that feasting, there's no calories. That as we come to feast in heaven, we're not going to have portion control. We're not going to have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm trying to reduce my red meat intake. We're going to be able, New York Strip, don't mind if I do. There's going to be no sort of like, oh, I'll just have some fruit for breakfast. No, in heaven, there's going to be feasting. See, what we have to understand is, as we talk about all these things that we enjoy about life, all of the things that make life here complete, the Bible tells us that all of the good things that we experience in life, all of the good parts of this life, they're gifts from God. James tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above. So ice cream, it's a gift from above. Gardening is a gift from above. Games are a gift from above. Every good and perfect thing that's in your life is a gift from above. And James goes on to say that this God who gives us all of these gifts, he does not change. And so, friends, the good things that we enjoy, they're gifts from God. And they will be the things that we will enjoy. Because God doesn't change. He doesn't give us a lifetime full of things that we love and enjoy, and then we get to heaven and he's like, sorry, we don't do any of that here. Except for a big difference. In the midst of all of them, there'll be no sin, no evil, and no pain. So I want to talk to you about a couple of things that we can know about heaven that will help us to know that it won't be boring. First thing, in heaven, we will know each other. For many of us, the first thing that we want to do when we arrive in heaven is to see all of our family and friends and loved ones who's passed on before us. And that will be this incredible moment where we arrive in heaven and we get to see those who have passed before us as we get to reunite in fellowship with them, worship God with them, and enjoy the glorious wonders of heaven with them. Our ability to recognize people that have passed on is shown to us in multiple places all throughout the Bible. There's this moment where in the ministry of Jesus where he goes up on a mountain and he brings a couple of his disciples with him. And it's called the Transfiguration. And it's this moment where these disciples are given a picture of the glory of Jesus. But with him, we're told Moses and Elijah are with him. Now, Moses and Elijah haven't lived for hundreds of years. I can't say they died because Elijah didn't die. That's a whole other thing. But Moses and Elijah are there with them, and they're recognizable. They can be seen. Last week, we talked about the story that Jesus tells, and if anybody's got good theology, it's Jesus. And Jesus tells the story about Lazarus and this rich man who die. And when they die, they recognize each other. They recognize Abraham. They see and they, I know who that is. In the Old Testament, King David, his son dies. And David says this, I will go to him, but he cannot return to me. David's words imply that he believes that he would be able to recognize his son in heaven. The Bible seems to indicate that when we get there, we're going to be able to recognize each other. Let me go ahead and maybe calm some fears you've had. You will be reunited with loved ones, with people who have passed away. If we pause for a second, if you have ever lost a child, you will be with your child in heaven. Let's not rush past that. Let's let that sink in. Does that sound boring to you? One of the most common questions I get asked around this is, when I get to heaven, will I know my spouse? And I think, well, do you want to? They will be there for you, but they won't have sleep apnea. There's no CPAP machines in heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise, there you go. Heaven, the next thing that tells us that heaven won't be boring is heaven will be a place of unimaginable beauty. The Bible tells us that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart can comprehend what God has prepared for us. What that tells us is that there's going to be a newness in heaven. There's going to be things there that are beyond our ability to comprehend here. The Bible says our hearts can't even imagine what this is going to be. There's going to be new colors that we can't see, new sounds we can't hear, new sensations we can't feel, new tastes, new things to barbecue. Think of the most beautiful place you've ever been. And think of the most beautiful moment you've had in the most beautiful place you've ever been. And then recognize that heaven is going to be so far beyond that. Another thing that we'll keep, or that we can know that heaven won't be boring. In heaven, we'll have new and perfect bodies. Yeah, amen. It'll be grandpa before he got sick. It will be loved ones before they had cancer. Your receding hairline will be gone. I'd like to think mine is going to look something like Bradley Cooper's. Or maybe Henry's. Health challenges will be a thing of the past. No high blood pressure. No high cholesterol. No high blood sugar. Last week, we talked about how hell is a place of no more. But heaven is also a place of no more. But in heaven, it's no more pain. No more death, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more addiction, no more stress, no more anxiety, no more sleepless nights, no more disease, no more violence, no more injustice, no more racism, no more shame, no more guilt, no more getting up in the middle of the night and going to the bathroom. No more bad breath. Brothers and sisters, heaven will not be boring. The second misconception we can have about heaven is that this life, it's more important anyway. we can have such a tendency to have this mindset, this perception, this understanding, this idea, this thought process that this world is really all that there really is. That this world is how we need to understand everything. But Philippians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 will say, their mind is set on earthly things. So often, this is how we see things. That when we try to understand anything, we start with this being the primary thing to start with. The cares and the realities of this life first, and then other things. But Philippians goes on to tell us, but our citizenship, it's in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a hard thing to kind of wrap our minds around and to really understand, but I'll do my best. Imagine for a second with me that this rope represents eternity. And everything on this side, this is eternity before God created man. See, our story begins here, but God is eternal. And so his story didn't begin when our story began. His story began long before, an eternity before our story began. And this side of the rope here, this is eternity after Jesus comes back. And this little section in the middle here, that this is Genesis 1. That this is the beginning. And this is the end of the book of Revelation. This is the end. This section here, this represents humanity. This represents our story with God. And so we've got Genesis 1 and Adam and Eve and all that at the beginning. Somewhere maybe in the middle here, Jesus comes. And then somewhere towards the end, well, not somewhere, at the very end, Jesus comes back. I don't want to be too clear on where we are on here, because then you're going to think I'm making some kind of end times prophecy or something. And you'll be like, oh, this church is getting weird. But somewhere in the middle, somewhere in here, this is where we are. This is our life, is just this little tiny sliver in this section. But somehow, even though we know all of this, and even though we know all of this, we become consumed with our tiny little section of this. This is what really matters. We get consumed with what happens here. When we think about how often we're just awake all night long, how often we were so worked up and so mad at our kids, or mad at our spouse over some kind of misunderstanding. How often we got so rattled and upset because of some political thing. How oftentimes pointless things in our life became so important that we severed friendships and we lost relationships. How often we didn't think it was important to tell people the gospel of Jesus because we get so caught up in our tiny little sliver that is our life. The Bible will tell us that our life is but a vapor, that it's here for a moment and then it's gone. And then we have eternity. But when we see it like this, hopefully we can somehow see how small our time here really is. And hopefully it can create some kind of sense of urgency for while we're here. And that leads us to the last misconception about heaven that I want to share with you, and that's this. Most people are going to heaven anyway. So often, we can think of heaven as this place where people who have lived good lives end up. That as long as we do pretty good, and we don't do anything too terrible, we should make the cut. That most of us are probably not really willing to say, like, I'm in the top 5% of people who've ever lived. But I think most of us would probably say, like, I'm at least in the top 50 probably, right? Or top 50%. Like we think, I've been pretty good. I've done okay. I haven't done anything really bad. But let me tell you this, and this might be uncomfortable to hear, but it's true, and we need to hear it. Good people don't go to heaven. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. If we've lived our lives with the idea that somehow I have to earn my way into heaven, that either because I need to be really good or I just need to not be really bad, we're missing it. And maybe for you, maybe that's been your mindset, has been, well, as long as I'm just not really, really bad, I'm not going to murder anybody, I'm not going to cheat on my wife, I'm not going to do anything terrible. Yeah, of course everybody does bad stuff, but I'm going to not do the really bad stuff. And then maybe when I stand before Jesus one day, he'll say, yeah, you did fine, kid, come on in. Unfortunately, that's not the measuring stick. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. In John chapter 14, we'll read this account. It'll say, do not let your hearts be troubled. Can we pause here for a moment? Friends, brothers, and sisters, don't be troubled. We've talked a lot about some big, heavy things, some hard things to work through, but I want to tell you, don't be troubled about eternity. We need to be reminded that eternity is at stake, but don't let it be a weight on you. Don't be troubled. It would go on to say, you believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus talking. Jesus is telling us these things. And in verse 2, he'll say, my Father's house has many rooms. God's house is amazing. And there's room for all of us to be there. There's room for everyone. Jesus will go on to say, if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? I love that God is prepared for us. Have you ever gone to someone's house for dinner and it's not ready? But not just like not ready, like miles away from ready. Like they invited you over for dinner at 5, but it turns out dinner's not till 6:30. That you show up and you're like, oh, I'm coming for dinner. Oh, okay, dinner's not ready. It's clear that they're not prepared for you. It's some Jan and Michael stuff. If you don't understand that reference, it's from The Office. But you show up and they're clearly not ready for you. Don't you love that God even right now is preparing for you? That God is preparing for the flip side of that. How often have you had someone to your house and 10 minutes, 5 minutes before they show up, you're running around the house trying to clean up, trying to stuff stuff under the couch, trying to hide stuff in bedrooms, trying to do everything you can to convince people we don't live like this. That you're running around spraying air fresheners, being like, we're clean, we're nice, we're tidy people. Look how nice everything is. Isn't it great? That's not what God does for us. He doesn't wait till the last minute. God right now is preparing for you. From eternity past, God has been preparing a place for you. He's anticipating your coming just as we're anticipating his coming. He is preparing a place for you. And Jesus will say, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus is coming back. He came once and he's coming back, and he says, when I come back, I'm going to take you with me. And then verse 4, he'll say, and you know the way to the place where I'm going. Now, it's into this moment where the disciple Thomas, he asks a question that maybe we all have as we read this, is he's confused and trying to understand this. And he will say, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? But it's to this that Jesus will answer, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I think sometimes we as the church, sometimes we as believers, we need to be a little more direct with this. and make sure that we're clear that there's only one way to the Father. People can believe whatever they want, but the Bible is very clear. There's only one way to the Father. Good people don't go to heaven. Our goodness is not of interest. Your relationship with Jesus is of interest. In fact, there's this moment that Jesus talks about where there'll be people who will stand before him, and Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And these people will say, "But Lord, didn't we?" And they'll list off all of these amazing things that they did for God. And God will say, I'm sorry, I don't know you. Our ability to do amazing things is not what will get us there. It's not the measure, it's not our ticket in. Finding salvation through Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Friends, what we believe about eternity determines how we will live today. If you were with us a couple weeks ago, we talked about how this place, it's not our home. That we're just camping, and that our home is in heaven. But my prayer for us today is that as we have spent this time reflecting on our home, and in the coming days, as you go through life, and you remember that hell or heaven is a place of no more, and you experience all the bad parts of this life, that as you're driving to work tomorrow morning and somebody cuts you off, you know that will be no more in heaven. There'll be no more bad drivers in heaven. And what that means, friends, is that you're going to learn how to drive too. that we all think they're the bad drivers and they think that about us, but friends in heaven, we're all going to get it. We're all going to know how to merge. It's going to be amazing. As we go through life and we experience all of the bad sides of worship, or all of the bad sides of life, all of the bad sides of this world, all the things that cause us pain, as we go home today and we fight with our spouse about what we're going to have for lunch, or as we go through the week and that person at work is there every day, why can't they just get sick? As we go through life, my prayer for us this week is that every annoyance, every part of this life that isn't the way that it should be, that it would make us homesick. That we would become homesick for a place we've never been. Because we know that this world isn't our home, but there's going to be a place where all of the tragedy of this world is made right. That friends, as we go through this life, every little bit of inconvenience and trouble and pain, it would make our heart homesick for heaven. And what we would believe about our eternity would determine how we live today. And as we look forward to an eternity spent in the very presence of God, our hearts wouldn't just be looking forward to us being there one day, but that a burning desire would be lit inside of us to bring others home too. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that this is not our home, that this is not all we have to look forward to, that this is not as good as it gets. But Father, I'm so grateful that for those of us who are followers of yours, for those of us who have chosen to say, "You are my Lord, you are my Savior, and I give my life to you," I thank you that this life and its pain and its sadness and its horror and its difficulty and its annoyances and its weight and its terribleness, that they don't get the last word. But God, I thank you that our home is in heaven. Our home is with you. And God, I thank you that we can have the promise that we look forward to an eternity spent in paradise, spent in perfection, spent in the presence of God. But God, I pray that we wouldn't just settle in and rejoice that home for us is heaven. But God, may you help us to know and to understand that we have been commissioned to work with you. God, I pray, would you build inside of us this knowledge and this awareness that eternity is at stake, that hell is avoidable, and no one needs to go there. And God, would you build inside of us a desire to bring as many people home to heaven with us as we can. Father, I'm so grateful that we don't have to earn our way in, that we don't have to try and hope that we just made the cut, but that we can boldly, with confidence, stand before you, knowing that we are forgiven, that we are clothed in righteousness, and that we will stand before you and you will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And God, I pray that for each one of us, there would be a crowd of people cheering us on, standing behind us, knowing that they are there because we're there. We brought them with them, and that we made a difference. Father, I thank you that you've chosen to partner with us. God, may we be good partners. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I used to live like a rebel, didn't
want to behave. Thought a wretch like me could never be saved. Thanks again for being a part of this message from Hillside Church. We pray that God was able to speak to you through what was shared. We're so grateful to be able to share God's word with our church community and family, and that includes you. And we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Hillside Airdrie. You can contact us through email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca, or you can go to hillsideairdrie.ca and click on Contact Us from the main menu, or you can find our pastoral team contact by clicking on Our Pastors from the Our Church drop-down menu. Our vision for everyone that shares in Hillside Church is that they would know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power in their lives. And we pray this message ministered to you. At Hillside Church, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go. Praying Jesus gonna find you and open your eyes. Well, maybe right now's our time. Like a thief in the night, he'll sneak in, take your life. That resurrection gonna have you singing. I got stolen by the grave robber. Pick me up from that rock bottom. Walk my soul in that holy water. Brought me back to life. One more stone rolled away. One more sinner been saved by grace. This dead man, he ain't dead no longer. All because of that grave robber. Taking my sin, taking my shame. Breaking my soul out of these chains. I'm a dead man living. And God. Taking my shame, breaking my soul out of these chains. I've been forgiven, and God did it. I got stolen by the grave robber. Pick me up from that rock bottom. Wash my soul in that holy water. Brought me back to life. I got stolen by the grave robber. Pick me up from that rock bottom. Wash my soul in that holy water. Grave robber.